Welcome to A Brit in LA with star of stage and screen, Lauren Samuels. Each week, she'll be navigating different areas of the US entertainment industry after swapping London for La La Land. She'll be meeting inspiring figures who are achieving their own Hollywood dreams.
Hi guys, and welcome to another episode of A Brit in LA with me, Lauren Samuels. Thanks for pressing play. I had a great time meeting my guest today. Marianne Parker is a leading etiquette expert who has been featured in Forbes, the New York Times, and many other leading medias. She's a much in-demand speaker and author of two books with one on the way, including the wonderfully titled Posh Overnight. And she runs a company, Manner of Manners, that helps brands, businesses, celebrities, individuals have stellar elegance and etiquette. I'm really excited for you to learn some new etiquette skills with me today. I found it all so fascinating. And I like to think I'm quite well-mannered, but I guess we'll see. Let's jump to our chat. Marianne, welcome to A Brit in LA.
Thank you so much for having me.
In this day and age, why is etiquette still important?
You know, etiquette has been important always and forever. And the birthplace of etiquette is actually France. And during the King Louis XIV, etiquette actually progressed much more. And we carry this trend until today. You know, etiquette definitely evolves in many, many different aspects. However, we want to know a little bit about it because we want to make people feel at ease, comfortable around us. As Maya Angelou said, people might forget your name, but they will never forget how you made them feel.
Yes, that is so true. I had no idea actually that it originated in France.
Yes, during the reign of King Louis XIV, because he wanted to create, he's a very intriguing monarch, in my opinion, because he was creating those rules of etiquette to control his court. And this is a very sophisticated way, if you think about it, to control so many people, because this was his way of controlling the internal revolutions or whatever might come out of it, because when they were following those rules of mannerism, how to eat properly, the dance code, even the dress code, because during the when they had certain norms to follow, they didn't have time to think about internal revolutions. So this is one of his ways to control his court, which is very important. Also, he kept them in debt. You know, everyone wanted, just as today, you want to wear the best brand, you want to wear the best fashion, to follow Chanel or whatever case it is. So this is what he was doing back in the day. We're talking about centuries ago.
Wow, that is so interesting. And you said just now how obviously etiquette is evolving. How would you say that it is changing with the times as expectations around gender change? You know, for example, should us women still expect men to open doors for us?
You know what? I love this question because in business settings, especially in the United States, we are a very business oriented country. So obviously we take everything on a business level. And when you are attending a business meeting or if you're having a conversations about business, obviously you want to be seen as equal. However, there are many people who, and many women, I actually attended the show, Dita Von Teese show, you know, she's promoting the elegance, you know, the femininity from back in the day. So depends which part of the society you want to be part of. We have a very fluid understanding about etiquette today. You know, it is not always about the social graces, but sometimes it's about the business grace, you know, in the business portrayal in a, you know, in certain business situations. So depends how you see yourself.
Right, that makes sense. And I would have said before we just spoke about it originating from France that typically etiquette and manner experts are in the media are certainly British, I would say, but you yourself are from Bulgaria. So how did growing up there lead you to this path in life?
Unfortunately in Bulgaria when I was growing up, we didn't really have so much exposure in terms about etiquette. The first time I attended an afternoon tea was many years later when I started traveling. And I've noticed that I really need to learn more. I got so intrigued and so interested about etiquette that because I started first on a business level. I have a business degree. I have an accounting degree. My background has been always been in a corporate world. And I've noticed that we lack etiquette in terms of we don't, it is a lot of, corporate world is basically filled with a lot of politics and a lot of uncomfortable situations, and people have to navigate this environment. So it has been very challenging for me and for many people. So I had to learn about business etiquette. From there, I got into the social graces, and I loved it. And I studied etiquette actually in England with a very, very prominent school. Of course, I have several education paths, with Brussels and here Washington, D.C. about business etiquette. However, I've learned a lot on my own because I wanted to know more. I wanted to teach my students from the very beginning of etiquette.
And you keep saying business and social etiquette. What are the differences between the two there?
Well, the difference is when, for example, when we are at a business setting, and how you said, what happens if we are in a business situation, the man opens the door or the man present the chair. So the roles are more equal, and right. Social graces were more, we pay attention to more delicate parts of life, for example, afternoon tea, certain conversations, which might be actually is a very, very thin line between the two. Mm-hmm. However, you always have to think, are you attending a social event or is it a business event? Because if I go to a business event and I present myself as a fragile lady, they won't take me seriously. Have to be really, really strong, and you have to show that I might be a lady, but at the same time I mean business,
right?
And a lot of times people confuse the American style of doing business as being a little goofy. Mm-hmm. The reason being is Americans are very open, very transparent. We like to be entertained. So if you've noticed when an American attends, for example, a speaking event, if we don't get entertained, and I feel very local, I've been here forever. Mm-hmm. If we don't feel entertained, we lose the interest about the concept. So because probably we're very close to Hollywood, we like movies, just excitement, right? But doesn't mean that we don't mean business. So
right. That makes sense, actually. And one of my questions was going to be, what is the difference between British people and Americans when it does come to etiquette? But I guess we're talking about social and business. So is there differences between British people and Americans with social etiquette, for example?
Well, it is, because when I'm in England, obviously I can't give a hug to somebody who I've never met.
Oh, okay.
Because they will be very, they'll be surprised, because people are more distant,
Yes, British people are a bit more reserved, maybe.
Exactly, reserved is a different upbringing. In Europe in general, people don't just go and hug everybody and give a kiss. Mm-hmm. Also, in England, we don't really talk about money when we talk about. In business situations, there are certain topics that are taboo. In England, you won't see anyone talking about money. However, if you are in a business event here in the United States and you attend a particular speaker who is a very, very successful individual, the only topic is about money, and people don't really see it in a bad way.
Interesting. So British people might find that rude, maybe, talking about money. Interesting.
Yes, but at the same time, because people here are so transparent, they want to teach you something, not necessarily always they want to brag about it, but especially if they teach you, they will definitely talk about money. What else about the joking matters? For example, if you're in England, you can't really make jokes, right? Especially goofy jokes, personal jokes, no. But in the United States, for you to break the ice, you always come up with a joke. You have more of a lighter approach about life, right? I don't know if you've noticed that.
Yes, definitely.
Right? It's just a certain differences. You have to mind your, how we say, read the room when you enter somewhere, read the room. Are you in a British setting? Are you in an American setting? The other thing that is very interesting for me, beside the jokes, let me see, there's certain differences that I've observed, but if I think about it, I'll let you know. Oh, yes, I remember now. When we are going to a social event in England, we like to be introduced, you know, because people won't take you seriously if you don't get introduced. So when I go to an event and I meet the host who invited me, basically, I tell them I'm here and I expect them to introduce me. In the United States, it's different because when we go to a social event or business event, we mingle. We just go and introduce ourselves. And this is very, very normal here. However, I tell people, if you really want to be taken seriously, even if you're a very high profile individual, you need to be introduced. I like that style better. To be honest.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. And I guess I've always thought here, maybe I think I've been told by Americans as well that I have better manners, or that in general, it's kind of thought of that British people have better manners than Americans. Is that true?
You know, it is a question of upbringing, because people know about etiquette, they know about certain norms, they know how to present themselves. In America, everything is much more transparent and more free, and it seems like people do not care. It's just the demeanor is a very different demeanor, and it is just the regular style which is accepted here. However, we need to learn certain norms, because when you travel in Europe, people frown upon, you know, and even for the younger generation, you know, you have to, you know, we tend to be a little loud, so you don't want to be loud, you know, you want to follow the expectations of the particular place where you're at.
Yeah, that's definitely true about upbringing. I know some British people that have not got good manners at all. So where you're from, how you were brought up, sure. You mentioned now just before that you went to school in England. That was going to be one of my questions about how does one go about learning etiquette? And so I guess there is schools to go to.
Yes, there are schools. You know, back in the day when I was growing up growing up in a communist country, and only the diplomats were exposed to this type of training, because the diplomacy actually is the front line of every country. So if I have the success to communicate properly with the country that we potentially might be in some kind of a, you know, challenging situation, then probably we don't need to send the army. So the diplomacy has a very, very crucial part. However, in our countries, and probably in many countries in the world, etiquette wasn't perceived as something very important. And I think that this is a big mistake, because I have to tell you that I have degrees, and many people my generation, this was the thing, we all had degrees. No one ever asked me to show them my degree, but they always hired me whenever I went based on my communication skills or my personal presentation, or even the dress code, if you will. You know, it was always something else besides my hard skills. So we have to really pay attention to details as such, because it matters. People might tell you, you know, it doesn't matter what they wear, or it doesn't matter what they say, but it does. Subconsciously. And of course, not everybody in England went to the, you know, lived in the Buckingham Palace. We shouldn't be raising the standard globally. We cannot, as an American, so we can't really feel intimidated about certain things, because their countries, even if they're very high profile, you know, it doesn't mean that everyone is that way. But you want to be responsible for your own self.
Yeah, completely. And would you say that it's like a dying art now? Are people still wanting to go to etiquette school?
You know, you'll be surprised. You know, many people think that it's very fascinating that etiquette schools exist, but the schools I went, they're always, the classes are full. And I have one of my most successful class is about afternoon tea. You know, people really like to be entertained. How I said, they want to, because we're so busy and the world is so there's such a somber element these days, especially after the pandemic and during the pandemic. So people like to be entertained, and I think that certain etiquette elements can be really helpful, actually.
Yeah, and fun, like you said, it doesn't have to just be school, like it's fun.
Exactly.
How much does it irritate you personally to see bad manners in public? And I need to know what annoys you the most. Is it, I don't know, people eating with their mouths open, or what specific things?
I think that I started learning about etiquette more because I used to get very irritated at the office. You won't believe it. There's certain situations, I don't know if I want to share it here, but I was very shocked. So I was thinking maybe they're just so badly mannered. But at the same time, I was started to think that the problem might be me. Am I so sensitive? Am I getting older? I'm talking about 10 years ago. So I started learning more and more to see, am I right? Am I wrong? And it is a lot of common sense involved. A lot, unfortunately, a lot of times people don't. Common sense is not common practice. Well, I don't really like when I communicate with somebody and this individual is on the phone. I really dislike that. I like people to be present when we're conversing. You have to listen what I have to say, even if you're not interested about the topic. Just at least pretend. I have friends that they might be talking about their stone collections. Do you really think I want to know about their stone collection from different countries? I don't care. But at the same time, I might actually learn something new. You force yourself to listen. You might learn something very interesting.
Yeah, we live in a very distracted world now, don't we? We've always got something going on. I always think the same thing that you say when I see people in, for example, coffee shops going up to order their coffee and they're on the phone, or they've got their headphones in and they're listening to music and they just sort of take one out. Yeah, I'll get a coffee, please, and then put it back in. And it's like, that's so rude. Like this person, is trying to talk to you and serve you and you're not listening.
Or people do not smile, they don't acknowledge you. When they drive, they don't want to let you in. It's just a 1 second difference. The world is not going to end if you just let somebody go before you. And it's always some kind of a competition who is going to be first and who. So little things like that, I'm always irritated, but I try not to bother me. I think that a lot of people are actually trying to be decent people.
Yeah.
And there's always somebody who is not.
And would you be the kind of person to call someone out if they were being rude to you?
No, this is what I've learned about etiquette, that people who are really knowledgeable about etiquette, it is actually a bad etiquette to call somebody out.
Ah, okay.
So if someone else does it on my behalf, I'll be just smiling, but I can't really do it because it's going to look very obnoxious. Just because I've learned and I know that, and maybe my upbringing was different. Because we're coming from different backgrounds. We don't know where this individual came from. I communicate with people that are very, very successful. Unfortunately, and I actually do classes for them. I had a class. It was in Los Angeles. Very successful people, and they told me, I've never attended etiquette class. I don't know how to eat. I watch videos. But I want, and please, of course, we don't share names and anything, but they're very honest and sincere because people make it very, very high in the world, but the background still affects them and they have this little complex, is an inferiority complex that actually hinders them. I've noticed that a lot of people avoid very high profile meetings and business encounters because they feel intimidated. So the knife and the fork cannot intimidate you. You can lose a deal just because you don't know how to eat.
Right. I've never even thought about that. Yeah, people, and you've worked with several celebrities. What are the specific things? Like, can you teach me and our listeners some basics right now? For example, let's work with a good old-fashioned British cup of tea, for example. How should we be holding and stirring it? Because I think people think that the whole pinky out thing is like royalty, right? I've got a mug
I
here.
have some cups here, but when you have your tea, cup of tea, you
Yeah.
are not going to put your finger inside the handle. You're going to 1, 2, 3. This is the way you hold
I
it.
see, yeah.
Yes, and you know, of course, when you have a cup of tea, you know, also when you have a spoon, you're going to do the motion 12-6, 12-6 gently. You don't want to spread
Oh.
anywhere. You don't want to be steering.
So it's not a circle at all.
No, not a circle. It's going to be 12-6, 12-6, you know, gentle movement. Also, when you stir your tea, you're going to place your spoon behind the teacup. I have, you know, there are certain things that people can actually find out if you went to finishing school or if you're comfortable, because, you know, when you're at I've learned that when you're at the table, and many people in the United States, for example, they do not know that you start with the sandwiches, because they bring those layers of food and you start probably from the first that you see. But you also want to, you know, you just don't know because it's very confusing. Remember that etiquette was back in the day, etiquette was about exclusion. So
Right.
they didn't want everyone to know what is going on because you had to be kept somewhere. You know, not everyone was, you know, from the on the world level. So they had to keep a lot of people down in a such a way that you don't know. That's why a lot of people thought that the pinky is going to be out. And I actually understand why. I read about it that during the Industrial Revolution, a lot of people became extremely successful, but they didn't have the background as the royal families, you know, or the nobles. So they thought that this might be, they wanted to be more sophisticated. And sometimes when you do more, actually shows that you are really do not know much. Also about the table setting, international fine dining, the fish knife is actually something that was created later on after the Industrial Revolution. The real royal families and the real noble families, they didn't use this fish knife because it wasn't invented.
Oh, I see.
And when you see those big collections, you probably saw it and you'll see it. They don't have a fish knife, or the fish knife is a different silver, or is not particularly from the same set, because
Right.
this was invented later on. It's such a silly invention, you know.
Yeah, well, I've got to be honest, I have no idea how to use a fish knife.
Yeah, it is a very easy concept. However, was something to make it even more complicated, you know, to show how high class you are.
That's so funny. Yeah, they were trying to keep everybody excluded from each other. I get it. That's so interesting. Obviously, I was working with a mug here, which is not a teacup, but you know, we do our best. It also says more issues than Vogue on it, my mug,
Oh
so
my
there we go.
goodness, I know. I have a lot of them too. What else? You know, the punctuality is never going to change, you know, especially in the
Yes.
United States. And the reason being, I don't know if many people know, in America, people are very punctual because comes from back in the day during the gold rush and the land grab, when it's a very basic concept. If you're not first, you're last.
Oh,
That's
right.
why people are very punctual, not because they know about etiquette. They are punctual because if they don't come to the gold mine and get the gold, first, you know, they'll never get
It's
it.
gone, yeah.
So
That
it's
makes
first
sense.
come, first serve
Oh, I
mentality.
love punctuality. I'm one of those people that's always 10 minutes early. In fact, I complimented you for being 10 minutes early for our meeting today.
You
The second you arrive, I'm one of those people that likes to be 10 minutes early, otherwise I feel late for
Yes.
something.
Well, yes, I always prefer to be earlier because, you know, I'm not very technical. Let me put it that way. So I said to myself, I really can't afford to be late just because I cannot figure out the Zoom or something. You know, I always have some little things about the technology.
Oh, I know. I know. We've all had to learn during the pandemic is when everything sort of went crazy and we all had to learn. Tell me about your two books that you have and what you hope to achieve with each of them.
Actually, I have two books and I have a third one on the way.
Oh, exciting.
Thank you. The first one is called The Sharpest Soft Skill. It is about business etiquette. It's very, you know, my books, because people these days do not read. We can't read books as Dostoevsky that are 400 pages. We don't have time. We're business people. So, in a short amount of time, you can learn a lot of things. It is strictly about business etiquette, you know, punctuality, personal space, personal, what type of questions should you ask about a dress code in business, about traveling, because sometimes you do business with the countries from different religions, what do you do, what you do not do. I think I found it very important for me what I had to go through to put it in paper and for people to learn. I'm not saying that they're masterpieces, but I get a very good response for both of my books. The other one is called Posh Overnight. It's something that you just read it in a few hours, and it's the same size, and it is about social etiquette from A to Z. You even learn about difficult to eat food, even for because there's several types of difficult food to eat. I even teach. We're not talking only about spaghetti and double dips and all of those things, but we're talking about caviar, we're talking about escargot. We don't want situation as Pretty Woman in the
right.
Pretty Woman. Yes.
Yeah, when a snail flies across the...
Yes. So how do you pair champagne? I have a great class about royalty. I incorporate even Moroccan tea. Yes, because I wanted them to learn different aspects of etiquette. You know, I don't want to be the typical etiquette course. I incorporate a lot of things because I love traveling. So I've seen it, and if I talk about it, I've done it.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and you've got a third book on the way. Do we get a little sneak of what that's going to be about?
It is called Retro Glam. And it's all about the boutique style of entertaining from back in the day. We changed a lot during the pandemic. Now we have the boutique style of entertainment. We're going back to traditions. You know, I love traditions, and I love everything what is the feminine approach, you know, the lipsticks, the makeup, the dress code, the 50s type of vibe, a little bit of sensuality as well, because sensuality and etiquette go hand in hand, you know. I'm not talking about dating, but however, there is about the perfumes, colognes, you know, things like that, more of a lighter spectrum, but also very, I think, is intriguing, at least for me.
Yeah, no, that sounds so interesting. I love anything to do with anything back in the day, like the 20s, 50s, like you just said, entertainment and fashion and things during those eras. I find all of that fascinating as well. So that sounds like right up my street, that book. You've created a subculture called luxury etiquette.
Yes.
And you've demonstrated it at some of the world's most glamorous places and events. But what exactly is that?
That's a you know, I had actually students, they asked me what means luxury etiquette, and I've noticed that some schools actually are trying to incorporate my word, you know, into their businesses, because I follow, and in the beginning everyone was so, what is luxury etiquette, you want to be too different? Well, luxury etiquette is exactly about that. You want to include certain details about the luxury lifestyle of you want to create something for yourself, because luxury is an emotion, you know. So for me, many people, when they do something luxurious for themselves, they are willing to pay the money because they know that it's a luxury. That's why I talk about caviar. How do you eat caviar? Actually, I have something here for you to show you. This is a mother of pearl caviar set. Caviar, you actually, you know, back in the day, people ate it anyhow. They had so much caviar back in the day, but now we have the fish that produces caviar is almost extinct in the Caspian Sea. So if you get caviar, which is going to cost $400, you want to taste it in the proper way. So that's why it's a mother of pearl. You can use those type of utensils. You never use silver.
Why do you not use silver?
Because it becomes very oxidized.
I would never have thought about that.
Yes, it is oxidized, and you don't want to feel this metal taste, and you want to feel the caviar in a proper way. That's why you don't want to pair caviar with champagne. You know, many people think that
Well,
actually, the best way to pair caviar is vodka.
Oh, Wow, I would never have guessed that.
Yes, I know because I didn't know many of those things. And, you know, I decided to learn more about it and to try certain things. And I said, oh, this makes sense. And I can tell you more about it. I don't know how much time we have, but we usually want to pair a caviar with vodka, and the vodka should be the very basic raw style Smirnoff.
Oh, okay. So not expensive vodka, like you would think it should be expensive.
Not the gold, the blue girls and all that.
Yeah.
They have their own flavor. So if you want to, you can really, you know, your perception cannot feel too tastes. You know, has to be, is always one. One is always the dominant one. So you want to choose which one do you want. You always can have the vodka. So why not accentuate the caviar, right? You don't need it every day. Mm-hmm. The other thing that I incorporated is champagne, you know, because we, about toasting. I love everything about toasting. And what type of glasses, flutes, or, you know, you're supposed to use, but we show them how to savor the champagne as well, because during the Napoleon, they started the savoring of the champagne, and I think it's so exquisite. It's very primitive, it's very medieval, if you think about it, because with those sabers, they, you know, they were basically cutting the top of the champagne. They don't just open it in a regular way. And I think that is very intriguing. So this is part of our class. So we do a lot of different things that they might not see anywhere else.
Right. You know, so. And so are these classes, are they in person that people come along to, or are they online? Do you do online ones as well?
I do online ones as well, but it's always more entertaining about the in-person ones. Actually, I have one in May and it's already sold out, but I do it. I do 4 times a year. It is called Royalty and Caviar. And it's always very a big success because people love to, how I said, to be entertained. And we do it in the West Hotel in San Diego, or in Beverly Hills in one of the hotels there. In September, I have the Los Angeles event. Also, I do summer camps for kids. And yes, I do summer camps because they need to know certain things. You know, you have to be prepared. Even if you don't want to use those skills, you need to know you can't afford to be intimidated, because this was me when I was a kid. And I have a new module about calligraphy.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
So they're going to learn how to at least to write their thank you notes. You know, calligraphy is something that is not very much used any longer.
Well, no, certainly not with computers and texting.
Yes.
I mean, we rarely write anymore.
I agree. But I suggest always for everyone to have their stationery and to send a thank you note. And if you actually can use your own writing with a calligraphy element, I think that is going to be different, you know.
Yeah.
So just I like things like that I didn't have an opportunity to learn when I was maybe 12.
No, that's so interesting, because I feel like my handwriting is getting worse and worse. I mean, even sometimes now, if I have to write something with my hand, I get an ache in my hand or my finger, because I'm so not used to, you know, holding a pen for a long amount of time. It's ridiculous. And also, it's interesting what you say about being intimidated. I grew up in a household where my mum is heavily allergic to shellfish. So we never, ever growing up had any shellfish in the house. And it wasn't until I was in my early 20s that I even first tried a prawn. And then I was dating somebody that was Australian, and I went to Australia and sat down with all of their family, and there was lobster, and I had never seen it or knew how to handle it. And there was all these implements that I had no idea how to use. And so it is interesting that you can become so intimidated just by a food, you know.
But usually when you're not aware what is happening, you always can look at the host.
Yeah.
And they're going to, you know, especially if they know, they're going to let you know. You know, you always look at them. So this is the if they serve this, I'm sure that your experience was very they meant very well. They wanted to show you, and they wanted to invite you with the best of the best they had. However, sometimes as the Pretty Woman movie, I felt that he was trying to intimidate her.
Yes, yeah, that can happen.
Yes, he was the one who was ordering on her behalf. You know, you don't do that as a gentleman. You can't order on the behalf of somebody else just because you think that this might be, you know, always
funny.
The one who has the, you have to have a saying of what you're going to order.
Yeah, agreed so, completely. What does the future hold for you, Marianne? Where are you taking all of your etiquette adventures next?
The next one is our class on Friday in May. It's for Mother's Day. I do it every year at the Westgate Hotel. And this year I have a special surprise for them because, first of all, everybody's getting a gift. The hotel is really celebrating very heavily the Mother's Day, you know, celebration. But I have a very special gift for them because I don't know if you read about the Oscars, the gift bags.
Oh, yes.
Yeah,
I saw it. Yes.
Yes, the gift bags were very, very heavily so luxurious and so exquisite. The price for the gift bag is, I think, $125,000, right? And I've noticed that they had certain days, date. I love dates because I just love the Oriental culture. So there was a company who provided dates in a very sophisticated boxes and just delicious sort, you know, just different, which grow, I think only in Saudi Arabia. So I have those type of dates for my guests when I'm going to introduce them to Moroccan tea.
Ah, that sounds wonderful.
Yes, I have them here. I can show it to you if you'd like to. But yeah, I don't want to advertise them. However, they're very, very nice gifts. They're a little more expensive, obviously, because they're world class, you know, the best of the best. So this is what I'm planning. They'll be, I'm sure that they'll be happy.
That's so exciting. Well, I've got to tell you, I would absolutely love to come to one of your classes. They sound so fun. And I guess people dress up nicely and it's like a nice swanky affair.
You know, it's not if you don't want to dress up, you don't have to dress up. But however, I always advise them that you know, wear your hat or your fascinator, dress in a way that it is an afternoon tea. For my Mother's Day gift class, most of the people are Japanese.
Okay.
And I'm very excited because they're going to experience a different way. You know, I want people to learn that there is a big difference between afternoon tea and high tea.
Right, yes.
We use this high tea so much and it's so it's just a wrong term because for us, high tea is associated with a high lifestyle. But high tea was actually for the working class, right?
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yes, afternoon tea is for people, you know, who are actually celebrating and enjoying their afternoons. So, and the high tea was for the working class in England. And I had nothing wrong with the working class. However, it is not the high tea when the people were wearing the hats and the fascinators. They were getting ready for the next day to work.
I see.
And it looks very, you know, people need to be aware of little things.
Yeah, I think I always thought afternoon tea and high tea were the same thing.
Well, many Americans think so as well. So
I think many British people, apparently.
Because you're a different generation, maybe the younger people, they don't really know because, you know, you are busy with other things. So you weren't really attending many afternoon teas and all of those. Also, I teach people how to, when they attend events as musicals, Broadway shows, operas, how to behave, because many times they come late, they leave before the interception, they want to eat, they don't dress properly. You have a seat, for example, in the middle, and all of a sudden you're just coming and telling everybody to stand up because you're...
Yeah.
So certain things, they have to show respect to people that are in this industry.
Well, I appreciate that. Coming from a West End musical theatre background myself, I can tell you, being on stage when people are coming in late or they leave before you've taken your bow, you've just done all of these hours of work for them and then they leave before you even get to take your bow or they're... recording you with their phone or talking or whatever. So I appreciate that there is someone like you out there teaching people the proper etiquette of theatre. Marianne, it has been so wonderful to talk to you. It has been absolutely fascinating. And people can find your books on Amazon. And where can people find out about your classes as well?
It is on my website. It's called mannerofmanners.com. And you can see my classes. You can send me an email. I will respond promptly. And I think that this is going to be helpful to introduce etiquette back in our society.
I completely agree. Marianne Parker, thank you so much for being my guest on A Brit in LA.
Thank you so much for having me.
After recording this episode, I chatted to my best friend back home, the singer and actor Noel Sullivan of Hearsay fame, all about all things etiquette. And here is a recording of our latest chat. Okay, Noel, what would you say is your worst habit or like your worst bad manner?
Chewing with my mouth open.
No, you don't, do you?
Yeah. My husband tells me all the time. He'll like stop mid-dinner and just give me the glare and I recoil and suddenly shut my mouth.
That's like a really simple, like I wouldn't have expected that from you, Noel. I'm quite disappointed.
Yeah, I think it's because I was an only child, so I didn't have anyone to pull me up on it. I just, you know, if I had a bowl of food, I was eating it however I wanted to. I still do when I'm really enjoying myself.
Yeah, do you make those like humming sounds when you eat?
No. We're not going that far. It's just a bit of a chomp. A chomp and a slurp. Perhaps.
All right. What would I say my worst manner is? I'm obviously practically perfect in every way. So it's hard.
You're an idiot.
It's hard to know. Perhaps I do speak with my mouth full sometimes. I don't chew with my mouth full, but if I've got something imperative that needs saying, I won't wait.
No, I know that about you. It's like, why are you telling me this? So have you signed up to go to the Manor of Manners?
No, but you need to come to LA and we need to do this together because we can get all dolled up and go and have lovely afternoon tea, drink champagne, have this lovely, and then do our etiquette lesson. What do you think?
Well, I'd rather just do it on the beach in my pants, not have anybody judging me about it if I'm coming all that way, you know. But I don't understand how it's not a reality show already. Like, how isn't she running, you know, why can't I tune into this?
Wasn't there like, there was an Australian one, I feel like, called Ladettes to Ladies?
Oh my God, with Paul Burrell. Yes, I do remember that.
I used to love that show. Like the women that ran it were like ever so, and they were like, "Oh, you popped in the kitchen, get out!" Like they were fabulous. But I think there needs to be a reboot over here, perhaps.
Yeah, I think she probably doesn't need it because she's making a ton already by the sound of things. But if she were ever to, then I think it would be something I'd watch. I'd definitely tune into that.
Definitely. What would it be called though? Ladder to Ladies, quite a good one, isn't it?
I think Manor of Manners is the perfect name for it. Manners. I don't even think you have to.
Welcome
the Manor of Manners.
Manor of Manners. Oh my God. Maybe I could get a job there as like the presenter.
Yeah, that's great. Be the host. You'd be amazing.
I would love that. And I'd obviously, as we know, really ramp up the English.
Yeah, of course. That's the only way you'd get that job is if you went in there giving it full Julie Andrews.
All right. Well, I think I'm gonna approach Marianne about this and see how she feels. Get her. She's
got the
channel.
Perfect. I just look. The alliteration is just delicious. Marianne from the Manor of Manners. You can't you can't write that. It's amazing.
I know it is. What manner annoys you the most when you see it in other people? What like that?
I don't know. There you go. That's a good
not
answer.
Not annoyed easily. Not annoyed easily.
No, I don't really care. Like
you let anything.
No, that's a lie. That's a lie. I hate, you know, I hate typical things like respect of silence in places. For example, say you go to a spa and you're in the sauna or the steam room and people are chatting away. And I just think, shut up. Everyone's coming here to relax. We're supposed to be having a lovely time, sweating my bits off. Mm-hmm. And all I can hear is you talking about what you're going to have for tea tonight. Not the time or the place.
Not
people have paid good money to be in here.
Same thing as people having like really loud conversations on the tube or
yes,
on the phone.
Yes, hate it.
Listening to their music out loud.
Music on public transport. Eating on public transport. Yeah. Don't get your fried chicken out on the tube or on a bus. Not that I take buses very often, but you'll understand when one does. If I see someone munching on a greasy thigh, I'll always think,
disgusting.
You're a wrong'un. Yeah, you're a wrong'un.
Absolutely. Well, this has been thrilling. I've learned a bit more about you, Noel, actually, and what not to do in your presence.
Yeah, and never push in front of me in a queue.
No, I mean, as British people, we take queuing very seriously.
We do.
Very seriously, indeed.
Anyway, you should probably queue up your next guest, Lauren.
Bye. That's it for another episode of A Brit in LA. Thank you so much to my wonderful guest, Marianne Parker. Thanks to my mate, Noel Sullivan. And most of all, thank you to you guys for tuning in. I'd absolutely love you to consider giving this podcast a 5-star rating wherever you're listening. It would mean so much to me. And also give us a follow so that you don't miss an episode. Remember, you can always get in touch with me via our website, abritinla.fm. Have a great week until we meet again. And as always, guys, wherever you are in the world, go for your dreams. TTFM.